Вы слушаете SBS Russian.
Вы слушаете SBS Russian. Меня зовут Светлана Принцева. Как вы знаете, радио SBS вещает на более чем 60 разных языках. Продюсеры наших языковых программ собрали самые актуальные вопросы своих слушателей премьер-министру Австралии в преддверии федеральных выборов. А задали их Скотту Моррисону, главный редактор арабской программы «Silva Measure», выпускающий контент-продюсер Питер Теодосио и я, главный редактор программы на русском языке Светлана Принцева. Вопросы были о работе с мультикультурными сообществами, о помощи беженцам и выдаче защитных виз, о планах по предотвращению новых вариантов COVID-19 и о том, что Австралия еще планирует сделать для помощи Украине. На странице с этим подкастом есть тайм-код с вопросами. Вы можете перемотать до интересующих вас ответов.
Hello, Prime Minister here.
Hi, Prime Minister. Thanks for joining us.
That's good. Who have I got there?
You've got Peter Theodosio. I am the content editor of Output.
Thank you.
Thanks. First of all, we can run through a bit of a format for this interview. SBS produces content in 63 languages, and the questions have been sourced by our language programs and our audiences. As mentioned, I'm Peter Theodosio, content editor of Output for our language programs. I'm joined here by executive producer of SBS Russian, Svetlana Princev, and SBS Arabic 24 executive producer, Silva Metsa. Due to COVID measures, we can only have 3 people in the studio, but it's important to note that this interview is on behalf of all of our language services. So I'll pass over to Silva for question one.
I'm Silva Mezer. Thank you so much, Prime Minister, for your time. And my first question would be from SBS Arabic 24. Prime Minister, you have spent a lot of time campaigning with multicultural communities. The latest would be on the weekend when you cut a birthday cake with the Our Lady of Lebanon community. And 1 week earlier, you visited Ables Lebanese Suites as well. How important the multicultural communities will they be to your re-election?
Well, they're incredibly important to Australia and Australia's future, and always have been. I mean, Australia is the most successful multicultural, multi-faith nation on earth, and this hasn't happened by accident. It is the product of having a very positive immigration program, one that seeks to predominantly be driven by bringing to Australia people who have come to make a contribution, not take one, who've come and started businesses and brought their skills and helped build our economy, build our communities. And particularly those communities have come together to support more and more waves of migrants who have come to Australia over many, many years, providing the social and other support, supported by, over time, the settlement services that has ensured that Australia is really the model for the world about how a successful migration and multicultural program works. It's important to the cohesiveness of our society, but it's also very important, frankly, to our economy. The two reinforce each other, builds community, builds strengths, builds a stronger Australia. And so any time, any opportunity I have, and with Jenny in particular, to go and enjoy time in various different communities, it's always a great pleasure. As you said, where I've just been recently with the Maronite community, but at Eid, at the closing of Eid at Parramatta just a few weeks ago for Eid, and then on top of that with the Hindu Council on Saturday night in Parramatta as well. So, and earlier that day I was with the Sikh community in Melbourne. So it is something I very much enjoy doing, because particularly multicultural communities have done such a tremendous job during the course of the pandemic as well. And over the campaign, it's given me a great opportunity to go around and thank those communities for the work they've done, helping their own fellow Australians, either directly within their communities or more further afield, because that's the compassionate and outreach that we see from just so many ethnic communities across Australia.
Thank you, Prime Minister.
Thank you. It's Svetlana here, and I ask the question on behalf of SBS Pashto. Thousands of refugees and asylum seekers, including Afghans, live on temporary protection visas in Australia, some for more than 10 years, where they are unable to return back to their countries to be reunited with their families due to war or the threat of persecution. What is the coalition's plan for temporary protection visa holders?
Well, our plan is, as we've always said it out, for anyone who has come to Australia, who has illegally entered Australia, then we have temporary protection visas, and that will always be Australia's policy. We are very clear about that, and in order to have a successful migration program, there has to be very clear rules about how you come into Australia. But our broader refugee and humanitarian program is one of the most generous in the world. I mean, right now, we have already processed visas for some around 7,500 Ukrainian refugees, for Afghan refugees who are impacted by the terrible events we've seen with the Taliban taking back over Afghanistan. We've committed more than 16,500 visas for those to come to Australia and be supported. So that's how our refugee and humanitarian program works. And that's why it's so strongly, I think, supported by Australians. We are a generous and long-standing supporter of resettlement in Australia for those who come through our formal program. And we want to keep doing that for decades and decades to come. But to do that successfully, we need to focus on ensuring that people come to Australia through the proper channels. And that's why our policies will always be strong when it comes to ensuring that occurs.
Prime Minister, a question here from SBS Chinese. If you retain government, how do you see the future relationship with China? And what needs to be done to ensure an improvement in relations?
Well, first of all, I'd say that Australians of Chinese heritage are the most patriotic and the most have made the most amazing contribution to Australia's strength and our prosperity and to our future. In particular, during the pandemic, Australians of Chinese heritage did an incredible job, particularly in those early months of the pandemic when the virus had begun over there in Wuhan and people were returning to Australia from China. And the care they took and the precautions they took, I think, played an enormously important role in Australia having such great success relatively to other countries, with the pandemic not impacting in terms of death rates and things of that nature compared to other countries around the world. So I say thank you to the Australians of Chinese heritage for helping Australia to come through the pandemic in that way. The relationship with the Chinese government, and I want to be very clear about this. This is about the relationship with the Chinese government. The people-to-people relations between Australia and China, I think, are very strong. There is a great desire and interest in Chinese people to be able to come to Australia, have a holiday, study here, have great connections, be cultural connections, and ensure, of course, business connections and trade. And this is what we want to see happen into the future. But at the same time, Australia will always stand up for the liberties and the freedoms and the things that are very important to us. And we can't have a situation where any other government from any other country, including the Chinese government, would seek to coerce Australia. And there has been many examples of that. And Australia and I as Prime Minister have stood up to that. And it's important, whether it's on important human rights issues such as Xinjiang, Hong Kong, these types of issues, we have been very clear in our views about what Australia thinks. But equally, when it comes to the trade sanctions that have been put on Australia, and we believe very unfairly. And so, look, we will seek to ensure that we have a positive relationship, but it is the Australian government that is very happy to have dialogue with the Chinese leadership. But this isn't being extended to Australia at the moment, and I look forward to the time that it is. But in the meantime, our trade with China continues, particularly in our resources trade. And we're looking forward after China, which is going through a very difficult time at the moment with the pandemic. And that is impacting, I know, many Australians of Chinese heritage who would be concerned about family members back in China. And so I wish them all the best in managing those COVID challenges at the moment. And I look forward to a time when we can be engaging again. We will continue to work towards that goal. But that will never happen at the expense of Australia's sovereignty or our important liberties and freedoms and the things that we believe in Australians. Mm-hmm. They're not things we can ever trade away.
Mm-hmm. Prime Minister, I have another question from SBS Chinese Chinese program. You just mentioned how migrants contribute greatly to the Australian economy. In this post-pandemic period where skilled shortages are severely felt through so many industries, are there any plans to boost migration as part of the economic recovery?
Well, we will get our migration program up to the 160,000 places that has been there for some time. And as you know, we've lost several years of migration to Australia because of the pandemic. Now, the skill stream itself will increase to 109,900. That's more than 30,000 places above what the previous planning levels were. And within the skill stream categories, the employer-sponsored, there's 30,000 there. For skilled independent, 16,650-odd places. And for state and territory-nominated places, there's some 20,000. And they've all been increased from previous planning levels. Regional visas will double to more than 25,000 places to support growth in regional Australia. Now, I'm excited about this because in regional parts of the country, we're seeing a lot of growth, and we're investing in the growth of our regions. And one of the things we've always sought to do as part of our migration program is encouraging new migrants coming to Australia to go and settle in regional parts of the country. Now, I understand people will go and settle where the jobs are. And the fact that we're getting more and more jobs in regional areas, this will create, I think, a real positive incentive for people who come to Australia to go and live in regional parts of the country where there are real labour shortages. And they're looking for people to come and settle and make that their home and raise their families there. We also have the business innovation and investment places, just under 10,000 of those, 9,500, and a similar number for the Global Talent Program, just under 9,000, and the Distinguished Talent Program, there are a number of places there also. So we have a very robust and strong program. It's very focused on skills, and as we come out of this pandemic, we're building up those pipelines again, where people are making that decision to come. As you know, probably we've extended the duration and terms of visas for people who are already here in Australia. We've relaxed many of the work rules that existed, particularly for students and those here on visitor visas. And we've also provided direct support financially to those who have been in Australia, particularly during the pandemic. So we've been very practical. We understand the importance of migration to Australia's economic future, and as well as getting the balance right and ensuring there's a strong focus on skills and supporting people settling in regional parts of the country.
Thank you, Prime Minister. And another question from SBS Pashto. What is the government's plan to provide compensation for victims of alleged war crimes in Afghanistan following the Brereton report of 2020?
Well, there's an independent process which is being followed, which we established after that report was provided to the government. And that's where that matter rests. And that's where it will be independently pursued.
Prime Minister, a question from SBS French. If you retain government, how do you intend to mend the fractured relationship with France?
Well, there's no doubt the decision to cancel the submarine contract for the attack class submarine, some $90 billion, was obviously a great disappointment to the French government. That is unavoidable. But the reality is Australia had to make a decision in our national interests, and those submarines were no longer going to serve the purpose, the strategic needs of Australia for our defence within our region. So it was a decision that we had to make in Australia's national interests and our defence interests. But we've been working assiduously since then through our foreign minister, through our overseas mission and our ambassador there, and also here as best as we can in Australia. And we are seeing that relationship already start to rebuild. We've seen the foreign minister attend the European Union Indo-Pacific Ministerial in Paris in February. There have been a number of meetings in Canberra and in Paris with French officials to discuss the way forward. We're looking forward to building our extensive cooperation, particularly on the Pacific. These are issues that France and Australia have much in common, as well as on cyber and counterterrorism, as well as dealing on climate challenges within the Pacific. And we're very pleased with Australia, France and New Zealand cooperation to assist Tonga following the recent volcano eruption and tsunami. We are working together in our region, and this relationship is long-standing. Remember, it was Australians who fell to defend France during both the First and Second World War. And so I don't think there can ever be any question about the commitment and the sacrifice that Australians went through to support France's freedom and liberty. And I think the people of France will always understand and respect that. And at a political level between the governments, then I'm sure that will continue to improve. There's already been high-level engagement, particularly amongst our defence forces as well, including the chief of our defence forces. And this relationship will build again after what I understand is a great disappointment, But at times in relationships, you have to make decisions which are in your own national interests. And that, as a Prime Minister, that is my first responsibility.
Question from SBS Punjabi program. Feedback from our audience tells us that current parent visa options are too costly. Are there any policy discussions on better aligning the needs of young migrant families who often seek family reunification?
Well, it was our government and at my encouragement and instruction to the now immigration minister to go and develop that temporary parent visa. Now, this is a very important change, and it was being done to ensure that we can have some reunification of families without having to trigger all the other more permanent visa arrangements. What matters most is getting families together, and the sponsored parent temporary visa allows parents to come to Australia for up to 10 years. That was a 2016 election commitment that we have delivered on, and it was the result of extensive consultation with communities who use it. Migrant families waiting to sponsor their parents for a temporary sponsored visa can lodge an application to become a sponsor. We've had some 4,400 of these temporary visas being granted since they opened in April of 2019. We recognise the importance of family to the Indian community especially. And you'll remember that when we reopened the borders for Australian residents and citizens, Australian residents to come back to Australia and visitors to come to Australia, we made sure that the definition of family for returning Australians included their parents, because we knew that there was a need to ensure families could be together, particularly as they'd been kept apart because of COVID and the border closures. So I think as a government, we've always shown a great deal of commitment and innovation to see how we can bring families back together. Our visitor visas are up to 12 months duration when it comes to visiting of parents to Australia, and the contributing parent permanent visa is also there as a very good option for those who are looking for permanent residence in Australia. These visa settings have been carefully calibrated, and they reflect the balance in the program that it's important to maintain a strong community support for our program.
Prime Minister, a question from SBS Italian. What are the government plans to manage any new COVID-19 variants?
We are constantly constantly vigilant, as all countries are, and we are regularly swapping notes with countries all around the world through our Chief Medical Officer, who I am in regular contact with. There have been other sub-variants that have emerged but have not proved to be of great concern. Of course, the most serious one that we've seen in the past 6 months has obviously been the Omicron variant. And but what that has also shown is that we are now able to live with this virus. We have one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. And while that may not in all cases ensure we can prevent the transmission of the virus, it does prove to be a highly effective protection against serious illness and indeed fatality. Now, we are seeing more cases, and we are seeing more people who pass away who have COVID. But what I would stress is what those numbers reflect is not necessarily someone who has passed away because of COVID. It is just that someone who may have passed away may have had COVID at that time. So those numbers aren't necessarily causal. So we're continuing to make sure we're across all the various strains and variants. We have our winter preparedness plan that we put in place with the states and territories, with all the premiers, that was agreed back earlier this year, back in February and March. And that's been rolled out, the additional vaccinations for older Australians, for vulnerable Australians, the combination of that with flu vaccinations, and doing that also particularly working with our pharmacy operators to ensure we can reach more people. Our hospitals were not overwhelmed. Our health system was not overwhelmed. Australia's performance on the health front during the pandemic was one of the strongest in the world. And one of the other areas we ensured that we were able to achieve success in was managing the mental health of Australians as well. There was tremendous stresses on Australians, and Australia was one of the few countries that really put a very strong emphasis on ensuring there was mental health support, and that included specifically in multicultural communities.
Thank you so much, Prime Minister. Two more questions to go, and I have one question from an ITV radio program. As the use of Indigenous languages in Australia continues to decline, what are the plans to ensure these ancient languages are not lost?
Well, I couldn't agree more with the need to do exactly that, to ensure that we're investing in those languages. Our 2021 budget, we delivered an extra $22.8 million to safeguard Indigenous languages, forming part of more than a $1 billion commitment in targeted investments through our Closing the Gap implementation program. That funding for Indigenous languages was to establish three new Indigenous language centres. There was additional funding to support existing language centres. There was increased support for projects that protect most at-risk Indigenous languages. And there was new investment in the development of place-based partnerships between Indigenous language centres and local service delivery partners in health and early childhood. In 2022, we also committed a further $3 million for Indigenous languages to be brought into the classroom. Now, government supported funding the development of up to 60 dual language books over 3 years. And community organisations will share in some in that to partner with schools. So that's communities developing print books in English and their local language, directly contributing to a target of 16 closing of the gap Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures languages. That's one of the key things we're trying to address here, and we need to ensure they're strong, supported and flourishing. So we're backing up our commitment. There's digital programs, there's dual language books being developed in digital formats, and we are publishing more widely so that all Australians can explore and learn more about our unique language as a part of our nation's history and our nation's journey of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. And my question is from SBS Ukrainian and SBS Russian teams. You already mentioned the protections visa for Ukrainian refugees. Are there any updates on Australian support for the Ukrainian humanitarian crisis? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Yes, about 7,500 visas have been granted to Ukrainians to come to Australia. About a third of those have already arrived in Australia, and they received the full settlement services support to ensure that they can come to Australia and work and get the opportunities to potentially make a new life here. Now, we know from my discussions with many other leaders that some will want to return home, hopefully, that once the war is over, they'll be able to return to their homeland. And there are many who are in other parts of Europe who are hoping for the same. But right now, what we're doing, over in addition to providing that humanitarian support with visas to Australia, we are supporting both the military effort in Ukraine, and already more than $250 million we've provided in direct military support various armaments and bushmasters and weapons and armory to support the initiatives of the Ukrainian government to resist this disgraceful Russian invasion of their country. We're also providing humanitarian support through our partners and the non-government organisations to ensure that those who have had to flee the country are able to get support where they're currently taking shelter. Australia has one of the highest levels of support for Ukraine anywhere in the world through this conflict. And on a per capita basis, it's even higher than that. And I know from having spoken to Stepan, who runs the Ukrainian Association in Australia, when he was in Ukraine, Ukrainians are just absolutely so appreciative of just how responsive Australia has been. President Zelensky addressed our parliament. I've spoken to him as I have to the Prime Minister. We continue to provide support and meet their requests to ensure that their liberty can be restored and this disgraceful and illegal Russian invasion can be turned back.
Prime Minister, any last promise to the multicultural community?
We will always understand and value the strength of multiculturalism in Australia to ensure that multicultural communities continue to flourish. But the reason that multiculturalism works so successfully in Australia is not that it keeps people separate. It's because it brings people together. Our values are values that we share across so many different ethnic, language and faith groups. And the migrant story is a story of Australia, regardless of where you come from. And of course, Indigenous communities themselves have their own story and their own story of challenge. But for migrant communities, wherever we've come from, whether it was over 200 years ago or 200 days ago. The story of coming to Australia, establishing yourself, coming here to find that freedom, to find that new opportunity for your family. That's the migrant story, and that's what connects us all as Australians. We understand that as a government. We've supported it. We've supported our settlement services and a migration program which enjoys strong support from Australians because we know how to manage it well. And we will continue to do that to protect the program and ensure its success into the future so we continue to be the most successful multicultural and multi-faith country on earth.
Thank you for your time, Prime Minister.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Хотите услышать больше таких историй? Это можно сделать через Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify или в любом приложении для подкастов.